Here at Ologic, we make robotics from concept to reality.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. I'm excited to have Ted Larson from Ologic on the podcast today. Ted, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Jim.
So you are the CEO and co-founder of Ologic Inc., and you're an embedded systems research and development company with a focus on robotic applications and technologies. You have over 30 years of experience designing and building commercial software applications, and your current interests are in the areas of robotics, artificial intelligence, embedded systems, in consumer and professional electronic devices. Ted graduated from California Polytechnic State University with his BS and MS degrees in computer science. He's worked on numerous robotics projects with leading corporations, including Google, Hasbro, Savioc, and Panasonic. Ted has spoken at several of the past Robo Business Expos, the annual Silicon Valley conference that has helped business leaders understand where the market's going and which has assisted in implementing their robotics vision within their organization. So I'm excited to have you here today and excited for the conversation.
Yeah, me too.
Ted, so what do you do at Ologic?
I am the CEO. I spend a lot of my time with both the customers and our engineering teams, trying to keep projects on track, beat our customer expectations. Some of the big programs that we've been working on in the last year are not only helping customers do robotic work, which would be the insides of the robot, but we've also been doing a lot of work on, we have an AIoT edge compute service that we've just launched, where we have an evaluation kit that we are distributing and being able to provide more interesting ways to move IoT or AI-related applications to the edge. Also, too, helping customers moving from design to manufacturing. We're good at doing what is considered like NPI work, which is new product introduction. And we're really good at helping our customers do DFM for high-volume manufacturing. So those are all the reasons people come to us, and those are the things that I end up doing every day, all day, either evangelizing the services that we provide here or helping customers be successful in their projects.
And you've had the really rare experience of working with lots of companies in all kinds of different industries, and especially the toy industry, which is kind of a fun start.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would say that that's kind of where we got our start. We started in 2005. So I've been doing this for 17 years now. And our first big customer was Hasbro. We did a lot of toy work for them. We moved on to doing more and more toy work for other people like Mattel and other people. And then we branched out into more consumer electronic device work. And then we started doing more and more big mobile robot work. And we, had the advantage of being here in Silicon Valley and seeing the rise and fall of Willa Garage and being able to all of those great, smart people that worked at Willa Garage, they moved on to other mobile robot companies later on after it went away. And a lot of those people that we knew from there ended up building mobile robots and then calling us for help with their electronics design for their for the robot that they're working on. And so exciting.
That is very exciting. And so where do you usually get involved? I understand certainly in the early prototype work, but now, especially with industrial robots and doing a lot of work in mobility, kind of do they call you at different phases or do they call you at the very beginning?
We tend to end up in all different spots. We do work a lot with early stage startups doing, proof of concept or MVP work. We also do a lot of work with like corporate R&D groups that are trying to do some kind of prototyping or validation of something that they're trying to stand up inside of their organization and they don't have the manpower to do it themselves and they just need somebody with expertise. We also, have worked with people that have well-established products and maybe they're looking to do a next generation version of it. And then the third kind of area where we tend to get involved is what I would call like a rescue job, where somebody has a product that they've built, and then now they're trying to turn around and turn that into something that's producible in volume. And that ends up getting us involved to help do the DFM to make it easier to produce, easier to manufacture. So we do all of that. And I would say also too, most of our customers are local here in Silicon Valley. And I would say that's where the bulk of them are. But then we've also been doing projects with customers elsewhere in the world, in the East and then out of the country too. So it's been pretty exciting actually to be able to be involved in the robotics industry as it's really turned into this amazing thing in the last 15 years.
Yes, we both picked the right industries for sure.
Right, that's right.
So what have been some really challenging jobs? I mean, everybody's coming in at different times with you, but have there been some challenging ones that you've kind of top of mind?
So it kind of depends on the project. Usually it's a problem with being able to help people do the DFM tasks. Usually that's where it becomes hard. A lot of people that are building robotic products perhaps have never designed or built an actual product before. They're good at building prototypes, or maybe they come out of academia and they've never run a product company before, or they're building their first product that they're going to ship and have to reproduce, where they're not just making one of it, but they're going to make thousands of them. You know, what do you do to get there? We're really good at identifying the problems and then understanding all the implications in mobile robotics, and then figuring out like how to take that into manufacturing. And so the hardest problems usually are ones where the customer is way down the path, and then we have to go in and help them redesign it so that they can actually make it makeable. Sometimes I would say rescue job projects are generally the hardest, because usually the customer wants to be further along in their timeline than they actually are. And it's kind of a hard reality in some cases it feels like they're taking a step back, and, you know, we want to be able to help them meet where they want to go in the timeline they want to get there. But some people feel like they're further along than they actually are. And then when we get involved, it's a hard reality sometimes for some founders of startups and things like that sometimes.
So on their minds, on some of your customer minds, are certainly scalability, product cost, and picking some of the right manufacturers. What else are they thinking about? Are they thinking about, I imagine, safety?
Yeah, they're thinking about safety. Another huge thing that's really a common thing is figuring out like design for manufacturing in a way where the costing can be done properly. I think a lot of people don't have any understanding of like how you get the costs out of a product when you're working on it, and then helping them manage their supply chain better in some cases. I would also say that with the current economy, the way that it is, we have seen a lot of projects where the projects are having big trouble being able to source parts because of the supply chain issues in the world and the shortages of important electronic components that they would typically, you know, reach into the toolbox and say, these are the typical kinds of components we put in a mobile robot. We're getting a lot of projects also too lately where people are having to go back and redesign something because they have to redo it in a way where it's made of sourceable parts. I have become pretty good at like helping to shift people to a more sourceable supply chain. So those are the kinds of things that we are typically getting involved in every day.
It sounds like a big challenge and a lot of fun too. Are you seeing more maybe manufacturing coming back to North America?
Yes, we've seen a bunch of that. We've seen people maybe doing sub-assemblies in Asia. There's also people have been moving out of China. In some cases, they're moving to Vietnam or the Philippines or India. We have some customers that are standing up their manufacturing operations in India. But then maybe they do a piece of it there, and then we do there's a local contract manufacturer here in the Valley that's maybe doing a part of it. So they're maybe, you know, sourcing pieces from all over the world, but then the final assembly is happening here. Those are all possible. It really depends on the volume of what they're going to make. Usually it doesn't make sense to take a product outside of the US unless you're going to do more than about 5,000 pieces at a shot. And, you know, some people, depending on the product or the project that they're working on, they can't meet those MOQs. And so they kind of need to do it here. We have some really great relationships with local manufacturers that are helping many of our robot customers today. So
I wanted to switch the conversation and talk a little bit about kind of your staff and working at Ologic, because it must be like a big sandbox, right? For anybody who's interested in robotics, that it's super interesting projects and great customers.
It is. And the big advantage that, you know, the big recruitment pitch that I give as to why people might want to work here is, why would you go work at a company that's making a product? And well, I guess you might want to go there if you're interested in going deep and staying for, you know, a couple of years to work on a single product. But here, you know, we probably do 10 or 15 products a year. It gives our engineering team an opportunity to touch and get involved and understand this large problem set of, we're doing all kinds of different pieces for different customers. So, you know, in the robotics industry, we're doing battery chargers and motor controllers and power control units and sensor arrangements, and you know, being able to figure out how to do that massive integration, so then that way we can help the customer pull off delivering their end product. And it's exciting because people are getting to touch different things every week. You can build a really broad portfolio of expertise just spending a year or two here. We've had some engineers that have been here for a couple of years, and then they go off somewhere else. They go to work at some other robot company or whatever. And it's a pretty significant badge to have had worked here on your resume.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because you could, like you say, work on 20 or 30 projects and in all kinds of different areas. So what are your employees like? What are some of their skill sets?
The big items that we're usually recruiting for are people that are electrical engineers that have experience, you know, drawing schematics and laying out boards and debugging them. That's typical, kind of like the entry bar. We're very process oriented here, so we kind of have our own way of like doing everything. We do have a pretty good sized team, so we have to collaborate and work on things together. And, you know, it's not a lot of these things, you can't do it by yourself. You need to do it with a team. We also have a lot of software people that are focused on the low level stuff, bare metal items, all the way up the stack to like embedded Linux, and then obviously ROS. We do a lot of ROS driver work and helping to integrate ROS into applications, and then being able to control hardware that may be designed. So, and again, our core competency is kind of like bespoke hardware and software work for the inside of, you know, robotic products. That's what most people come to us for. They don't want to be building a product that's made up of a bunch of off-the-shelf items that are expensive and maybe don't meet all their needs. So we help them build a very product-focused, centric thing that is the inside of their product that they can manufacture and that they can own, and where they can also own the supply chain for it and you know, have some control over their own destiny.
And what kind of, like, were mentioning some of the tools that you have or tools that you use. What are some of those things that your people will be using every day?
So for electrical engineering, for like EDA, which is, you know, electronic design automation, we use Altium here. And then we do a lot of high-speed design for doing like these high-speed cameras or these edge IoT devices usually have DDR4 memory in them, or MIPI CSI, or USB 3.1 super speed. We have to be able to simulate that electronically and be able to do SI and PI simulation. So I think we're one of the smallest design shops in Silicon Valley that has a Cadence security license. And we have a great partnership with Cadence. We actually have given talks and things at their developer conferences on some of the interesting things that we use their tool set for when designing high-speed things. And then also too, on the mechanical engineering side, we do have some mechanical engineers, and we have an ID guy too. We usually use SolidWorks for that. And then when we get into other things that are outside of our expertise domain, which would be things like thermal profiling or heavy-duty mechanical simulation or FCC approvals or things like that, we have partners with third parties that do a lot of that stuff. And but we do also do a lot of compliance work. So a lot of, you know, you can't really ship a product unless the compliance is working. And so those would be things like UL, FCC certs, Wi-Fi Alliance, Bluetooth SIG, where we have a great test lab partner down the street from us, and where we can help our customer go get all the certs and oversee all of the compliance tests that need to be run. We kind of do it all.
Very nice. So what, in general, what robot technology is kind of high up on your radar? Is it AI and GPS or 5G? What's kind of like?
Yeah. So the hot technology that's the highest on our list is what we call edge AIoT. So this would be doing AI out on the edge on like vision processing or vision systems, where the robot's able to do it without actually having to send that stuff to the cloud to go have it done there. We have an extremely strong partnership right now with MediaTek. We are their, what we call an IDH, which is an independent design house for US and Europe. And we're able to do chip down design with their latest system on chips. It's basically phone and tablet guts going into items. And but that aren't phones and tablets, right? So we're using them in robotics, and then we're also using them in a lot of other non-phone and tablet things that are kind of like a robot, but they're not. So these would be things like connected fitness equipment or home appliances. You know, a home appliance in some cases is a robot. So we're doing some of the stuff there. Heavy duty computer vision tasks. Those are the things that we're really, really excited with. Help doing that with MediaTek, and then we're also partnered with ON Semiconductor for vision, and we're working with them to do bring their camera products into product designs that we do. And then the last big partner we have in this space is Intel. We're partnered with them on the RealSense. I think we're the only design house on the Intel RealSense website that Intel recommends. And we've done a lot of work with RealSense, and we're a big booster of them.
Ted, how long does a project take? I know that's kind of like asking how long a piece of string is.
It's very nebulous. I would say typical customer engagements can be as short as like 60 to 90 days. But, we have like people that have hired us to help them do a whole robot. And usually whole robot projects take, you know, a year or more or two. It really depends. And it also depends on how much engineering resources the customer has bearing on the problem too, and whether or not we're just augmenting their team or we're being made responsible for the entire, you know, end product delivery.
Either it's a short string or a long string, right?
So, right.
No, that's great though. It's very interesting. So, and how do customers get in touch with you? Like, is it the CEO? Is it the board member? Is it engineer? Or is it everyone?
It's usually everyone. I would say for years and years and years, the primary way that we would get new customers was through this just enormous network of people that I know. I've had other consultancies that don't do so much robotics work. I've had people there ask me, Ted, gee, wow, you get all these high profile robot projects, you know, what's your marketing strategy? And I'm like, well, my marketing strategy is the phone rings and I pick it up. And it's somebody I know who's wanting to hire me to do a robot job. That used to be the bulk of our marketing strategy. Although lately, we've been doing a lot of partnership work where, because we're partnered with Intel and ON and MediaTek, they're, you know, helping us introduce us to people that have customer needs that we might not have found on our own. So we are in a place now lately where we're getting a lot more of these kind of like random introductions that we had not necessarily, we might not have found on our own because, you know, it wasn't somebody that knew me or knew somebody that knew me or knew what we were about. So that's been, I think, a big thing in the last year and a half. We're also a lot more active on social media. That's something that, you know, had been somewhat of a surprise to me, is like, well, you know, how do you do social media marketing for a robotics consultancy? I would have never thought that would help us. And it's actually helped us tremendously. It's helped with brand awareness and people understanding what we do. And people want to see pictures and stories about cool robotic projects that we might be working on that we're allowed to talk about. That's another problem too, in general, with marketing a consultancy like this, is that most people don't want us talking about what they're doing for them. And so we have to find the friendly customers that are interested in having us promote the things that we're doing for them while we're doing it. It's funny, when you see our social media presence or you see our website, it's like a tip of a huge iceberg that is most of it's below the water that you can't see. And, you know, it's only usually much, much later on that you find out, oh, they actually, you know, Olajic actually did the inside of this thing. It's kind of funny that way. But my biggest excitement of working here in general is we can work on a thing and then it'll be a big secret project. And then sometime in the future, it ends up going out into the real world and then we see it. And then it's like, oh my gosh, you know, there are products on the shelf of the Apple store that we designed the inside of. And it's a real thrill to like be in there and see products that we worked on and see them out in the real world and see people gaining benefit from the design work that we did.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And you're right that we sign a lot of non-disclosure agreements all the time, and it doesn't really help us sometimes when it comes to marketing.
Right.
So when you're not building robots or fixing them, what do you like to do in your off time?
Well, let's see. I'm probably not as balanced an individual as I should be. I am a little bit of a workaholic, but some of the things that I really like to do when I'm not working is I like cooking, and I like spending time with my family. My daughter has been raising chickens. So we've been having a lot of fun with her raising these chickens. And, you know, usually I try to like find some ways to relax, maybe get out of town. With the pandemic, it's been a little bit challenging with that. I've been an avid skier my entire life, and we do spend a lot of time in Tahoe when we can. I'm hoping that we're going to finally have a little more snow here, because it's been pretty dry since December. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. And how can people get in touch with you if they like what they heard here today?
So they can just come to our website, and it's ologicinc.com. That's OLOGICINC.com. Don't go to ologic.com. There's some domain squatter who's been sitting on it for 20 years. Go to our website. There's some info forms on there that you can fill out and submit it, and one of our people will get back to you and engage you about your product and your need and, you know, what you want to do.
Thanks so much, Ted, for taking your time today.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you.
Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you, and their info at earhartautomation.com. And Earhart is spelled Earhart. And I'd like to thank our partner A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our partner Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO, digital, and social marketing, and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And you can find them at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, and by us, I mean me, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew Chris Gray for the music, my partner Janet, our partners A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.